A renewed focus on customer service is at the heart of the massive reorganization at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Secretary Bob McDonald says the agency will hire a chief customer service officer. John Salamone's vice president at FMP Consulting, former executive director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, and he is a newly elected fellow of the National Academy of Public Administration. John, it's terrific to talk to you as always. A lot has been made of the reorg that is coming to the Department of Veterans Affairs, and we have details about it at federalnewsradio.com. What does that say to the likely overwhelming majority of employees at VA who are doing a good job, but who essentially are being told you're not cutting it, or the work the organization as a whole is not cutting it, and we potentially might move you all around, John?
Yeah, Francis, thank you very much for having me on the show. And I think that's it's an intriguing question, and I think it really takes some very serious consideration to think about the message that it sends. But when we've had a department that has had some challenges with customer service, and challenges is a vast understatement, when we've had veterans waiting on Veterans Day, as we celebrate Veterans Day and kind of reflect on this, when we've had veterans waiting for services for their injuries that were sustained in war, days or weeks or months, I think that is inexcusable, and there really needs to be some significant consequences, whether we're severely reprimanding senior executives that are in charge of those programs, either through firing or demoting. The department needs to take a hard line. I think the secretary is doing the right thing, because if he wasn't, I think that Congress would be calling for his resignation if he wasn't taking such a hard stance on this issue.
Well, to be fair, there are some members of Congress that are already a little suspect on how he's handling this. That's a discussion, I think, for another day.
Yeah.
But the number that struck me that people made a lot out of was 1,000 employees that are in line for disciplinary actions and possible dismissals.
Right.
And people looked at that as though 1,000, that's a whole lot of people. Last number I saw was 315,000 employees at the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I did the math. That's 0.0032, and you can extrapolate it out, percent, not 3%, 0.003% of employees in that organization that Secretary McDonald is suggesting will face disciplinary action. I think just about any organization in the United States would take that percentage as a number of employees that are causing problems.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that's the statistic. I was talking about NAPA. I'm going to be on a panel on Thursday at their fall meeting, and I was doing some research on federal employee discipline rates. And between FY 2009 and the half of 2014, there were 58,000 federal employees removed for performance reasons. That averages about 10,000 employees per year removed for performance reasons, which is actually 0.005%. So in line with where the VA's disciplinary rates are, I'm surprised it's not higher at the VA, given what was happening. But maybe what that speaks to is, was this more of an isolated event, or if it's more systemic, like some of the reports are coming out? I'm a little shocked that the numbers are only at 1,000.
Well, that will continue to develop, I'm sure, and I can't imagine we won't have hearings about it. I fear the thrust of those hearings will be 1,000 is so many, and why don't you just get rid of them? And a lot of the folks that have talked about this from an HR perspective talk about the due process, and that is another issue that will come up. What do you expect? First of all, congratulations on being elected as a NAPA fellow. What do you expect to add to what NAPA does, in not just in the human resources realm, which is your known area of expertise, but in other areas that you care about, John?
Yeah, I think when I look at the standing panels that NAPA has, there are several on things like the Executive Organizational and Management panel that looks at the structure, the capacity of the performance and performance of government. They have a public service panel. They do have a federal systems panel that looks at HR. I plan to look at HR issues, but I'm already involved with a project that aligns with some of the responsibilities I had when I was on Senator Voinovich's staff, looking at the GAO high-risk initiatives. And NAPA is setting up a team of fellows to analyze GAO's high-risk list with the goal of hopefully identifying some similarities and some common themes among the high-risk programs. They're going to be reaching out to GAO program offices, also reaching out to Hill staff and to the administration to look at these programs. So, you know, I'm excited about the HR standpoint of what NAPA does, but also from a broader government management standpoint, really excited to be contributing in a number of capacities with some of the standing panels that they have.
You continue to be involved with federal HR leaders. What are the concerns that they're talking to you about now that may or may not be different than the concerns that they were talking to you about when you were at the Chief Human Capital Officers Council?
I mean, I think the concerns are very similar. And what I'm seeing, and you had a great interview earlier in the week with Kevin Mahoney, was, and Kevin did a great job of describing the emphasis on cross-agency collaboration. And I think when I was with OPM and with the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, we were pushing in that direction. But I think that there needs to be much more cross-agency collaboration from a human capital standpoint in integrating the human capital planning aspects of government with the performance aspects of government and the budget aspects of government. And I think that that's a huge challenge, and I think that's something that agencies are going to continue to struggle with. We struggled with it when I was at OPM, and I know that agencies are still challenged by that.
The integration that Kevin and I talked about, that interview is archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, by the way. But the collaboration and integration of the CXO suite that we talked about, we're kind of now, it seems, getting to the point where people are comfortable with that, just at the very time where it needs to go now beyond the agency silo. We're kind of making some progress with the bureau silos, it seems to me, and now we've got to get beyond that. And Kevin and other HR leaders have to have at least relationships, if not ongoing dialogue, with the leaders in HR and other executives at the other agencies that they interact with. So it gets more and more complex on a pretty quick basis.
It really does, and great point. I think, you know, if you look at what GAO, with their overlap and duplication of federal programs, I think GAO found that there were four agencies, Commerce, HUD, SBA, and agriculture, that administer 54 programs to fund entrepreneurial efforts. You know, from my standpoint, why do we have 54 programs doing the same thing or similar things if one agency is really good at not managing a program like that and it's mission critical, then they should do it. If another agency is better, then why don't we have the survival of the fittest and have those programs that are doing the best job possible continue, and those that are not performing or underperforming or where there are duplicative management responsibilities, those programs should go away. And you can redeploy your resources, and this is where you can have the human capital officers really talking amongst themselves. If your agency has, you know, 10 employees that I need, I bring them over to my agency, and there are 20 people that are in that program at the other agency, can you redeploy them in other programs, or do they retire? What do you do with them? And that's where we're getting at, really, at the strategic level, you know, strategic workforce planning across agencies with, I would say, almost like a survival of the fittest for programs that are effective and performing well.